First of all, I want to thank y'all so much for all the cards and the prayers and coming to the memorial service for Jessica and everybody asking about Nevaeh to make sure she's doing okay. You know, it was a difficult time for many reasons, because of the situation, because of the family dynamics and everything that's been involved in for many years. So I ask you that you continue to pray for Carrie, Donnie, and all of them, because they're going to need it in the weeks and months to come. Even pray for my family because of the struggles, not my immediate family and Kim and my kids, but my overall family because of the struggles that they're going through for different dynamics. You know, I went to Caution Street, and that's where I grew up, and it's one of my homes I go to. But let me tell you something that I've realized here. You want to know how you're in the right place with the right people? It's harmony. When worship belongs to the Lord, when everybody in harmony pretty much is like we got together a week ahead of time and we planned all it out, and we never do. And that's one of the things I realized this morning. I keep saying it, but I'll be honest to you, I realized it today because of how much harmony is within this congregation. And I hope and pray that other churches around the area could experience what we experience here, because it will relate to my lesson this morning. We were in Proverbs this morning, as we always go to Proverbs. And I want to explain this. I ain't even started a lesson yet, but I want to go back to Proverbs because I want to talk about that harmony that we have. Our songs, our scripture before our prayer, the Lord's Supper, the giving part. You're all going to see this again. Because you're going to say, whoa, wait a minute. But y'all need to realize what special congregation this truly is. And I wrote down my lesson. You see notes on it? Because my lesson was developing as we were coming to church today, as we were in church today. I hear something in Bible class, and I got to write that down. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, it tells us, and I wrote a different version so it's a little bit easier to understand. The melting pot is for silver, and the hot fire is for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Now, verse 9, which we got close to the end as our class, whoever would foster love converts over an offense. And if you go down, which we'll probably hit next week, one whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. You know, this has been one of those busy weeks for me, and I was saying I got to get my lesson together. And I said, well, we'll make it a short one because my time is spared, but the good Lord seems like he wants to add to my lesson as we go throughout the day, even showing up here. But the struggles that I saw this week with the family, and I kept hearing, it's a faith issue. You're struggling. You got to have more faith. Just have faith in the Lord. There's just nothing wrong with that. But I struggled with that. And I said, when I thought about that coming here this morning, and is this going to be a controversial topic? But as I studied it and I looked into it, then I realized it is not a controversial issue. Yes, it's a faith issue. But do you know what it really is when you struggle in life, when you don't prosper, when you struggle with your sin, and when you struggle with conflicts in family, when you struggle with your relationship with the Lord? Do you know what issue that is? It's a heart issue. It's a heart. And you think about your heart. As it beats, it It makes every part of your body live and flow and work and be prosperous and do the job that it needs to do. From the center of your heart, it operates your brain to the very little tiny toe. Because if you don't have a good heart, your toe's not going to work. Your fingers are not going to work. Your mouth is not going to work. Your eyes, every part of your body is surrounded by that heart. Now, I think this is where we're going to get some tough subject. Because now when we really talk about our heart, is our heart truly into it? And what we're doing? So let's look. I went through and started, put it on the internet, heart. It, scriptures of heart. And it was just filled up that old screen with this. I couldn't put it all down there. But let's look at some of the verses and let's talk about this morning how our relationship and everything that we go through in life all comes down to our heart. And it even goes back through Old Testament. And I want to start in Old Testament because this is nothing new. This has been this way since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve's trouble, what was it? It was a heart issue. If their heart was doing what the Lord wanted them to do, they would never have been out of the garden. So at the very beginning of the time, it's been a heart issue. Proverbs chapter 4, which we read earlier in our study, verse 23 tells us this. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Everything we do in life comes from our heart. It's a heart issue. Proverbs 27, verse 19. I see why Jerry loves Proverbs so much. Proverbs 27, verse 19 says, as the water reflects the faith, so one's life reflects the heart. It's a heart issue. As Jeremiah says in verse 29, verse 13 tells us this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know if it's getting harder yet, but it will because we have to examine our heart to see where we're at. In everything that we do, and as we delve in this even further, you'll see it falls on us. We can't blame the Lord for anything. We have to blame ourselves if we're not doing what we are supposed to be doing because we're responsible for our own heart. So you look at your life and reflect on your life, realize it's your heart that he's talking about. Psalms chapter 51 verse 10 tells us, created in me a pure heart, O God, and renew the steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a new heart, a pure heart. It's always going to come back to a heart issue. And Psalms 51:10 tells us this, Psalms 20 verse 4. May he give you the desires of your heart and make all your plans successful. The Lord wants to look out for your heart as much as you do. He wants you to be successful. His heart is pure. That's what we need to understand. There's nothing that we have to look on the Lord because nothing but good comes from him. So his heart is pure for what he wants you to be. He wants you to be successful. He wants to guide your steps. You know, Solomon had the struggle with the heart. But the Lord said to Solomon, do not consider his appearance or his height. Because Solomon didn't think he was qualified for what he was about to do. And the Lord told him, do not consider the appearance and the height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You know, us, we look at how somebody's stature is and how they look and how they look financially and everything on the physical appearance of it. But from the very beginning of time, the Lord has always looked at our heart. Where is our heart at? So this morning, as we continue to go through this, I want you to continue to look at your heart. So when I start talking about subjects, you look at your heart. Where are you at with that? Let's read one more. We've covered a lot of verses already just in the Old Testament. Proverbs 3:5-6, which was talked about this morning in class. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with what part of your heart? All your heart. It doesn't leave any part of it out. And trust on whose understanding? Not ours. We just sang a song about telling us that very thing. We'll understand it. So, with that being said, so how should we live? Let's look in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, which we'll read that again here in a few minutes. But let's read it here. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." To me, I don't know if it does to you, but as I was studying through this and going through what I went through this week, it's getting very personal to me. When we talk about getting down to the heart of the issue, when we talk about a heart thing, that's my heart. And when I have to give everything, we look at our relationship with individuals. When we give our heart to somebody in marriage, we're taking a risk. We're giving a part of us that's vital, that keeps our life going, that can get hurt very easily. Y'all know me very well. Where do I keep my heart? It's 90%. It's on the sleeve. You know, people tell me I have a tender heart because things hit me, because I don't like to see anybody hurt or going through anything. But when we give that to somebody, that's the most precious thing that we can give. It's our heart. And the Lord is asking for that. More than anything else out of Scripture, more than anything other topic that you bring, you look up heart. What He's asking you is the most vital part of your life. The heart. Because it affects everything. 1 John 4:7 tells us this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. When you love somebody, it has to come from the heart. So when we look around us in this room, I know I see a ton of love. I saw it all week long. But that's the same love that we need to have for them out there. Those are the same love that we need to have when people have grievances against us or have disagreements with us, are upset at us, are mad at us. We have to show them love. We have to give up that heart that we guard so preciously at times. But the Lord is asking not only for Him, but for everybody around us. Why? In 1 John 4:8 tells us, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Wait a minute. If I don't give up my heart, I don't get to know God. I tell you, I told you, it's going to get personal. If I don't give everything I have of me, then I don't have a right to know God. That's incredible. Why? In 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. He gave it all when we were at grievance with Him, when we had our backs turned to Him. While we were yet sinners, He didn't wait till we started loving Him first. He loved us first. He gave of His heart. Remember, the very thing that you're holding precious to, the very thing that you want to make sure is guarded and protected and nobody can hurt and nobody can mess with, the Lord gave you His through His Son and through Him and through the Holy Spirit. He gave you everything. He gave it to you well before you ever gave it to Him. Because in John 3:16, it tells us again, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our life for our brother. By this we know He loved us. And who do we love? Our brothers. And we got to have the same heart, the same love. It's easy to love somebody who loves you back. That's not difficult. That's not hard. What's hard is what Christ did for us. To go ahead and die on the cross while everybody had his back turned towards Him. His own disciples ran and hid. Peter denied Him 3 times. But Christ did not come down off that cross. He stood on that cross and died for us. He held nothing back. John 13:35 tells us this. By this all people will know you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. They'll know us, we are His disciples by our heart. By the way we live, by the way we treat others, by the way we love God. They'll be able to see it. You look around for those who've been married for a while, Chuck, just making it perfect for my lesson this morning. Everybody's together. You can tell when somebody's married and in love, can't you? There's no hiding it. There's no doubt in it. Because love, you can't hide it. So when we're out in the world should see that we have a love for Christ. Should be no doubt. Why? 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 tells us this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not incite its own way. Wait a minute. It's not my way. It's everybody else's way. Not only the Lord, but we try to look out for everybody else before we look out for ourselves. It is neither arrogant or rude. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's the life that we're supposed to live. That's the life that we're supposed to live each and every day. I told you it's getting a little hard. It's not about us. So how should we worship? Let me ask you something, brothers and sisters. And I already know the answer here because I can see the difference here. I'm preaching to the choir. But does it come routine? Do you rush out the door? Oh, I got to get to church. I got to do my weekly requirements. I got to come in here and study, open up the Bible, and I got to come up here and sing a few songs, and I got to come up here and put a little money in a plate, and I got to come up here and make sure I take the Lord's Supper because it's required. But how much does that have your heart in it? I know it's been a rough week sometimes, and I know we're probably thinking about what's getting ready to happen next week. We could probably have some stuff coming up. We got Thanksgiving, how we're going to get planned for all that and get ready for all that. What are we going to do? And our mind kind of wants to focus away from what we're here for. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, because I feel it here, I see it here, I hope and pray that other congregations can experience what we see here, but our worship belongs to the Lord. It's not about us. We should be getting excited about it because of what it does for us. And how we're blessed and how God was willing to give His Son for us. And that it should excite us. So when we come here, we should be singing with all we got. But let's see what Scriptures tells us, how we should worship. I give thanks to you, O Lord. This is Psalms 86, verse 12. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart. I will glorify your name. We sing about glorifying the name today. Tell me the harmony's not here in this congregation. I can't help but get excited when I come and worship with y'all. I hope y'all are in the same way, but I was in class and up here, I was just like, wow. I just hope and pray that this continues here. And I hope and pray that other congregation understands this part because that's what it comes down to. And I hope and pray that as we read through these scriptures, you physically examine yourself where you're at. Are you getting excited for Christ? Is your heart in it? Colossians 3 verses 14 through 17. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's what I see here. Is that perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you will be called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing hymns and hymns of spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Lord, to God the Father through Him. That kind of wraps everything up right there. No, I could stop right here. That pretty much tells us how we're supposed to be, especially with our worship. Let's go back to Matthew 22, because it fits right here. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And that's the way our worship should be, with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. 1 Corinthians 14:15 tells us, "What I am, I do. I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing praises with the spirit, but I will sing with the mind also." Every part of my body should be in our songs, the way we sing to our Father. Because I'm telling you right now, if you really understood what God does for you on a daily basis, you would definitely be singing about it. I don't know about you, and maybe I've been caught once or twice, I don't know. But I love singing hymn songs. If I'm in my room by myself, or if I'm in the office first thing in the morning, somebody might walk around the corner and hear me singing. And that's the way our heart should be. We want to sing those praises to Him. The praises to Him. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making a melody to the Lord with your heart. That's the way we should be. Psalms 95, verse 2. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs and praises. Somebody who's singing can't be sad, can they? Have you ever seen somebody singing and they're mad? Or singing and they're upset? I haven't found one yet. So if you keep a melody in your heart to the Lord, it's going to keep you right. You can't get mad at somebody when you're singing a song to them. Usually we're singing love songs to the ones we love. You can't do it. John 4, verses 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him, worship in spirit and truth. We're commanded to give all that we have in this worship. I know sometimes it's a struggle, but we need to remember what we're here for. We need that. And like I said, I think I'm preaching to the choir because I was so excited to be here this morning. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Does that sound familiar from what we read earlier? Not reluctantly or under pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. One who gives from the heart. One that doesn't hold back. One that wishes, oh man, I wish I could give more. I got to figure out a way to give more because I can't outgive God. If we came with that attitude in here, I promise you, you came in here that every Sunday not really going, well, let me put my money into the plate. Let me do what I'm supposed to do. Let me meet my commitment. If you did it with a joyful heart and you gave what you could, then it may vary from people to people. That's why he says what one of us is able to give, the other one gives differently. But you strive to give as much as you possibly can because you know that you'll be rewarded in the end. Brothers and sisters, I don't care if you're poor for the rest of your life. You will still be rewarded in the end. And nobody out there will be as rich as you. We got to realize and understand that we cannot outgive God. Even if I was born poor and I die poor, I will still be outblessed than anybody out there in that world. We'll be blessed the same because we'll be equal. But there will be nobody who will be outdone by me because my God rewards those who diligently seek him. We got to understand that. If we understand that, then we realize how much joy it is to be here. How much joy it is to have the opportunity to give back a little. God gave me that great gift that I'm able to give something back. That's a joy that we need to scream about. Because I keep getting that question from all the time. Why do you give 10%? Who says I give 10? It might be 15. I give back the way the Lord blesses me, and I'm getting nowhere close. It's like me walking on water. I can't get close because, I'm not going to swim because get around water because I'm going to sink. So I'm going to try to give as best as I can, realizing that my Lord outdoes me each and every time. So I tell him, say, so if you give me a dollar and I give you $100, who's truly being blessed? And that's the way it is with us. We may give the Lord a dollar, but he's going to give us $100. And we need to understand that, and that will bring you joy. Realize, hey, that's going to quadruple when you think about the blessings that you're going to receive. But remember, I don't care if you're born poor and die poor. You're going to be blessed well beyond what you deserve. We need to understand that. Blessed are the pure in heart. Let's look at that for as we come, kind of bring things to a close. If we go back to Psalms 51, verse 10, which I read earlier, and it's a different version because I like how it puts it in this also. Created in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what I want. I want everything in my heart to be right. Not only pure, but clean and everything in the presence of what I'm doing for the Lord. I want to be blessed in a pure heart. Philippians 4, 8 through 9 tells us this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admired, if anything is exalted or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received and heard from me or sent in me. Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to focus on all the good things. It's hard in this world today. You look at what's going on in this world today, what's going on in Israel, and what's going on with all the different conflicts and all the different struggles. We look and see how far this world is getting away from God. It is hard, but we need to focus on the pure things. And we need to preach and teach the pure things and tell them what great is out there. I know there's a lot of bad things out there, but we have the key to make people's lives so much better. The pure in heart. You know, in Matthew 5, it tells us this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I was sitting right over there just a few minutes ago and thinking about this sermon, and I realized, and I even told the Lord, I can see you. Because of the harmony that's going on in this congregation, I can see you in your worship. Plain as day. And that's what I want to be able to do, is be able to see God. But it starts with a pure heart. One is the heart, a pure heart. So let's go back to what was read in Proverbs earlier this morning. In Proverbs 17 and verse 3, the melting pot is for silver, and the hot fire is for gold, the most purest part, the most greatest thing, the pressure. But the Lord tests our heart. On our final day when we see the Lord, what is He going to look at? He ain't going to look at nothing, because our body's going to be gone. He's going to look at our soul and our heart. Everything else will have faded away. Everything else will be gone. I don't care if you blow up in a plane crash and there's no left of your body. That's fine, because He's not looking at that part. He's looking at your heart. That's the one thing that we will carry with us for eternity, is our heart. One place or the other. Think about that for a second. One place or the other. That's the one thing that you're going to carry with you to the day for eternity, is your heart. So isn't that what we need to be focusing on? Is our heart? Because we just read it a little while ago. Luke 12:34 tells us, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know where your struggle's at. I don't know what problems you have, and I guarantee you each and every one of us have our own problems. But I tell you where the issue is. It's a heart issue. But brothers and sisters, you got to understand one thing. We are not by ourselves. We have so many hearts in this room that love and care each and every one of us. No matter where we're at in life, no matter what struggles we have, our heart can be repaired. Our heart can be fixed. It's not like the feeble part of the heart, the physical part of the heart, where one day it's going to fade out. But our heart and our spirit will last for eternity. That's the one thing that we have that will always carry through. So I don't know what your needs are. I know what mine are. And I know what my struggles are. And I'm working on it. And that's what I want to improve, is my heart condition. Exercise my heart in scriptures, as we talked about a few weeks ago. In worship to God and in my prayers, I'm going to exercise my heart. I'm going to make it as healthy as I can make it. I'm going to try to eat right by reading the right things and doing the right things. I'm going to take care of my heart, because if I don't have that, I'm dead. I don't know where you're at with your heart issues. I don't know what you need to fix this morning, but we can do it together. If there's anything that we can do, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.